I need to talk to everyone listening about Americans. Now, what could I possibly be mentioning? Well, there's something that keeps appearing on my TikTok For You page, and I'm really curious about it. How many people listening right now from other countries, anywhere outside of the United States, how common is pickpocketing where you live? Because in the United States, you don't do that. Not only do you not do that, the United States, we're taught to fight. In fact, from a young age, my father put boxing gloves on my hands and said, "We're going to throw hands, period." I was 7, okay? So I don't know what it is about culture in other countries that differ from ours. That allows pickpocketing to be a thing, right? Now, a lot of people, if you haven't heard it, honestly, it's so much. I really want to get into this because it's such an interesting divide in culture. Anyway. I want to thank everyone who's been watching the live streams and tuning in. I really do appreciate that. You will notice the Patreon is now closed. Unfortunately, you cannot support me unless you go on my Instagram and go to buy me a coffee. That's the one thing that I can do, because honestly, on Patreon, I don't even know what I can offer. I'm sorry, but I really don't know what I can offer for free. For a paid, behind a paywall, basically. I don't know what I could put behind a paywall that I'm not already doing for free. I really don't keep any footage, right? Any raw footage. It takes up space on my hard drive. It's an old computer. Look, I'm sorry, okay? Also, I'm not that big of a content creator that I can make a Patreon. I'm sorry, but I can't do that. And my internet's not good enough to upload a video early. I upload it directly on a YouTube whenever it's done. Anyway, let's discuss the pickpocketing phenomenon, because it is absolutely insane how many people are genuinely surprised when you pickpocket an American and they fucking throw hands. I'm sorry, but that's how Americans are raised. I've seen these signs that say watch for pickpocketers, and I just think, okay, fine, whatever. I know in other countries it's more common. I've been to them personally, where it's like, okay, don't carry anything valuable on you, right? Anything of value on you, keep it in a hotel, keep it somewhere locked up, right? That should be standard practice. Not every American does that, though. Recently, a lady had her passport pickpocketed, and she did not take that lightly. She grabbed the pickpocketer by the ponytail and dragged her around. Keep in mind, wow, should I even say this? That's light. I understand other countries are probably looking at that going, wow, how barbaric. You don't know the half of it. Americans own weaponry. I'm sorry, but that's how we're raised. You know, other countries, other states, let's talk about America for a bit. Other states in the United States, you don't do that. There are places where if you try to, like, okay, this is a bit more drastic, right? If you try to break into someone's house, they have the legal means and they have the tools to end your life. And a lot of cases, they do that. Not where I'm from. But, you know, it's a common thing, right? Other countries probably look at us and think, oh my God, I didn't know it was this bad. On behalf of America, I don't know if I should even apologize, but I'm going to say that. I'm sorry we're like this. It's a cultural thing, okay? And I'm saying that as somebody who is around people that own weaponry, right? Other people that legally own firearms, because it's an American's right to do so. Other countries don't have that, sure. But we also have laws to defend ourselves. Other countries, I'm assuming, have that as well. I don't know the full extent of it, right? But another thing, one thing not legal, not anything else, right? It's entirely based on, I don't know, Americans, when we're raised, we have this thing where if there's a bully, the schools, they're not going to do anything about it, right? They're probably be like, stop bullying. You're both in trouble now. So it's like, look, kick his ass. That's a thing that I've heard so many times growing up. And now other countries are starting to realize, oh, Americans are really, like, rough around the edges. Yeah, they can be. They really can be. I'm not just saying that as somebody who hasn't seen it firsthand, right? I've seen people defending their property. I've seen people defend themselves, right? Hell, I remember one time getting off of a school bus where a girl was taunting another one, basically calling her names. And again, the culture, right? She got off the bus, grabbed her by the hair, slammed her into the bus, and there was a police car waiting for her. Unfortunately, she did this in full view of the police. That didn't even stop her. In fact, after she did that, she was put in handcuffs and taken away. So, yeah, that's a thing. Okay, I'm sorry. Other countries listening. Americans, if you hear, listen, how about this? How about this? Pickpocketers specifically. If you hear an English or if you hear an American accent, steer clear. I'm saying this for your well-being, okay? Pickpocket whoever you want. I don't know if I'd fuck with an American, you know? There's something about us. Did we learn nothing? Did we learn nothing from the Olympics? Do you guys remember that, right? Some guy made fake wallets for people to pickpocket, and he was doing it for fun. He wasn't doing it to send a message. No. He saw an opportunity, and he took it for violence. Why? That's insane, right? That's fucking nuts. Oh my God, I really had to talk about that because other countries, you're seeing it now, right? You're seeing it. Like, pickpocketing wouldn't happen in the United States because I guarantee someone's either getting their shit rocked or 6 feet underground. There's no other end between that, you know? You don't touch another person's property in the United States. Not because, oh, it's an immoral thing to do. No. You don't want to do it because of the repercussions. There are many. And they're usually permanent. I'm just saying, right? It's ludicrous to me. Mainly for one thing, right? I thought it was normal for pickpockets in other countries to, like, you know, like someone chase after them and be like, give me my stuff back. No. Like, I thought that was normal. I didn't know that it wasn't, like, if somebody pickpockets you, you just go, oh, well, that's a thing? That's a fucking thing? That's weird to me. As an American, you could see this is my red, white, and blue blood coming out right there. It's just surprising to me. I'm actually really impressed. Okay, I need to know. People who live in countries where there are pickpockets, what do you actually do? Because apparently Americans are doing it all wrong. Is there a dance? Is there a game? What's going on here? It's just so fucking wild to me. My voice is cracking. This isn't... Yeah, okay, I got a little too hyped about that, right? I just saw the videos. I keep seeing them. And the thing is, people keep saying, remember what happened during the Olympics, right? If you guys don't know, there were people who were getting pickpocketed, Americans, and yeah, they are violent. They are violent. And that's not stemming from nothing. Think of it this way, okay? How about we put it this way? If you want to put it into the perspective that you don't understand, understand that most places in America are rural, right? We have really big cities, sure. In between them, wow, I punched the mic. I'm really fucking excited to talk about this. In between these big cities, there are tiny towns where there isn't much law enforcement, right? There's not a lot of cops. There's not a lot of people that you can call, go police, and then they'll come right after you. We don't have that. We don't have that luxury. America's landmass is fucking gigantic. There's not enough police to cover everything. So they take it upon themselves to deliver justice. That in turn becomes an instinct, right? It just happens. It's almost second nature to an American that if someone's yelling help or if someone's saying thief, one or two guys are going to try to fucking tackle the dude. Like, it's weirdly, like, I never thought of that being a thing, right? I'm seeing this now and I'm genuinely surprised that it just now happened. I've always thought maybe, like, one or two Americans would, like, deal with a pickpocket in their own way, but it's funny seeing this now, right? It's more televised, I guess. But wow, it's... Wow! That's a cultural... this is a significant time for that, you know? I think pickpocketing... I don't know if there's like a culture behind it or something, but I think pickpocketers are going to hear everything going on with Americans and just think, steer clear of them, okay? There's no... They're not going to run up to you and grab it and be like, that's mine. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to grab some orifice and they're going to try to twist it or whatever, right? Like the guy in the UFC fight that was so excited. He got up and said, grab his dick and twist it. The old dick twist. Even did the hand motion. I just imitated him. Oh my God. So, right. Okay, now that I'm all hyped right now, right? But I just remembered something. Last episode of the podcast, I was mentioning natural disasters and something that you can do in the event of a flood, something I had personally been in. I have to clarify because I mentioned it and I realized in the last episode, I never finished talking about it. The only thing to do is to put sandbags around your property and get to higher ground. By property, I mean like the doors, especially the doors, you know? if the flood ain't too bad, the sandbag should hold up around the doors. That's what we had to do. That was the extent of the flood. It was way worse in other places when we had to drive. And guess what? Your car cannot drive in water. Although surprisingly, Teslas can. That's interesting. Look, I'm not going to give Elon Musk any kudos, okay? He censored me on Twitter. It's kind of annoying. I'm not paying for Twitter Blue. I already made that mistake once. That's why I deleted the whole account and brought it back up. And immediately I was flagged. Weirdly enough. I didn't even say anything, dude. Anyway, it's... But yeah, about the flood thing. The sandbags around the door is a nice touch. There are some people that go above and beyond. And instead of small sandbags that are provided for free, they'll pay for these special giant ones that are like 3 feet tall. And they'll create a wall around their property. And sometimes they work. Sometimes. I'm not going to say it's often, but there are videos of these walls actually working. And my God, you've saved yourself thousands in damages. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, we like when people win. We like when there's a defense and it works. Unlike pickpocketers. Dude, I can't get over the pickpocketing thing. I'm sorry. Like, dude, that's just blowing my mind right now. Those two Americans versus pickpocketers, it's such an unusual clash. I didn't think I'd see that this year. I thought they learned from the Olympics, but I guess not, huh? I guess not. It's wild thinking about it. I'm still thinking about it. What I'm thinking about specifically is the guy that made fake wallets that when a pickpocketer would steal them and they would open them, they would be tased. And he found enjoyment in this. There was no money or anything in the wallet. It was entirely just for the pickpocketers to know, don't fuck with Americans. Wow. You know, it's surprising to me. And yet, I don't know, barbaric? What's the term? I don't know. I don't know if I should be proud of that. You know, I'm not. As an American, I'll tell you, yeah, it's your right to defend yourself. But other countries, I don't know. They seem to be realizing the hard way or learning the hard way that, yeah, we don't do that to an American. You know, don't take their stuff, basically. It seems to be very ingrained in our culture where it's like, this is mine, not yours. If you try to grab it, guess what? There will be consequences. And it's not some minor thing. It's not, oh, police help. And then they'll run off. No, fuck that. It also makes me think about people that do robberies in the United States. Because pickpocketing to me seems so delicate, you know? You have to have a finesse to it. You have to... It's a sleight of hand thing. It's almost... There is almost an art and a craft to it. It's just the fact that I'm not used to seeing that. And I don't know. Like, I started watching videos about pickpockets and how they do it. It's... I'd say it's a harmless crime, but, I mean, you're stealing something, right? Directly off somebody. Now, what I'm surprised about seeing that is just how much people do it, you know? Like, it's something that a pickpocket will do, and it'll be like, yeah, you've been robbed, but you didn't even realize, right? You were robbed blind, you didn't notice. Thieves in America tend to be louder, have more weapons, and are far more dangerous. They're not going to be, like, gently taking something. They're going to be like, money or your life, you know? One of those things. You've probably seen it in the movies. It's not too far off. Any people outside of the United States listening, wondering what American thieves are like, they are not dainty. They are not polite. They will pull out a gun. They will probably stab you just for the hell of it. Look, it's crazy, right? There's a reason that there's so much, like, self-defense out here. It's just really common. And if you don't know how to use a gun, you know how to use your hands, right? I'm not a gun guy. I have my fists, but I've never had to defend myself or anything. Thank God, right? It's just interesting seeing that part of my life being put on display, right? An American's life is very different in ways that people don't understand, right? And there's ways that Americans can't even explain either, right? That's one of them. And that's why I'm so surprised. There's some cultural significance right there, right? There's a cultural divide in that Americans have the stand your ground laws, right? Or Americans have the defend yourself, basically. It's like, again, a huge landmass. There's not police everywhere for us to just wave at and call. Dude, I can't get over this. This is so wild to me. Every time I see something like this, I often think, this isn't the norm? You know, like a big question mark comes over my head. Like, I thought this was normal, but I guess not. So that's why I'm so energetic talking about it, because it's rare. You know, like, you'll go to another country and it'll be like, oh, their faucets are smaller or something like that, you know? Some other stuff, like little things like this excite me, okay? Because I like the thought of going to another country and you learn other ways that people exist. Things that, not take for granted, but things that are just second nature to somebody are very different to us. An American second nature is to use both hands in violence when somebody tries to steal something from you. It's just, I don't know, man. I keep thinking about this. There's definitely some topics that are going to come up more often, right? I feel like on TikTok, I'm seeing this now, right? But because of the fact that it happened during the Olympics, it happened a lot, and there were a number of Americans that were defending themselves against pickpockets, we're probably going to see it more. I feel like people will be walking around recording stuff just hoping to be pickpocketed, and then guess what? Okay, here's the thing. I finally got it. I finally got why it's kind of exciting and nervous to me at the same time. There's one thing that I'm thinking about, and that is there's always going to be an American that sees this and realize here's an opportunity for some free clicks. They're going to go out, and guess what? They're going to try to get pickpocketed on purpose so they have an excuse to attack somebody. This has happened before in other ways. And it's not going to stop. I hate to say it. I feel like this is an inevitability. It hasn't happened yet, as far as I know. But I'm scared that it's going to happen, you know? The moment somebody got traction because of that, they weren't even trying to do that. They were just trying to get their stuff back. They were doing what an American does, right? That's the problem. You know, there's always somebody that takes it so far. And I know it's happening. I know it's going to happen. I'm calling it right now. Somebody's going to go where there's pickpocketers and try to do it on purpose because it's already happened before. Only this time they might record it, right? It might not go up on TikTok. It might be on some other platform like Instagram Reels. Good Lord, that's a lawless wasteland. I'm serious. That place is horrible. You can upload anything there and it'll be up for a while before they go, hey, this might be problematic. It's like, well, it's been a week. It's been up for a week. It's been shared everywhere. That's my two cents on that. Although, with how much I spoke about it, that's more like a few bucks. Thank you, inflation. That joke was ass, dude. Okay. I'm just... I'm still thinking about it. I'm gonna move on, but I know I'm gonna think about it later. How the fuck is there radioactive shrimp? How did that happen? Like, I paused for a day to go watch the news, go work, cut my grass and whatever, and get an FDA recall on shrimp that are radioactive. How did that happen? Like, actually, how does that work? All right, I have an article here I want to read just because nowhere else have I found anything else. But on futurism.com, it says, from the start, details about the CS-137 contamination have been bizarre. The FDA said that the contamination was only found in a single shipment. However, that container that tested positive for radioactive isotopes ended up at four large U.S. ports, Los Angeles, Houston, Miami, and Savannah, Georgia. The agency also insisted that no bags of contaminated shrimp have entered the circulation in the U.S., but then went on to list three potential application lots sold in 13 states. The fuck? To make matters all the more confusing, the FDA admitted in the fine print of the statement that the shrimp appears to have been prepared, packed, or held under insanitary conditions, whereby it may have been contaminated with CS-137 and may pose a safety concern, though it offered no further explanation. See, that's the problem. I can't find any more explanation on that. Like, you can't just feed shrimp CS-137. You gotta put it in there yourself, right? I imagine if it is really radioactive, it's really something super bad, then by all means, this shrimp's gonna die before it even gets into port, you know? I don't know how shrimp handling works, but I can imagine it's a little sanitary at least. Phil Burrow, a health physicist and deputy laser safety officer at University of California, Berkeley, preferred a simple and gross hypothesis. All right, let's see here. I definitely pronounced his name wrong. Let's just call him Phil. As Phil posted, why the hell is there a fucking spelling error in your website, right? As Phil posted on Blue Sky, this cross-contamination could have occurred during some good old-fashioned industrial corner cutting, with cheapo shipping companies refusing to care about which containers get used for what, much less cleaning them. That makes a lot of sense, because you know a lot of places, in order to cut corners, they won't wash shipping containers. They don't care what's in there, they'll just mix them up. But that's a hell of a mix-up, right? Food grade versus regular chemical grade, that seems like a huge oversight. Alright, I'm reading on. Planetary astronomer Michael Bush echoed the FDA's updated statement and suggested in another Blue Sky post that the radioactive contamination occurred somewhere in the supply chain and not originally in the shrimp. See, that's what I posed earlier, where it's just, you don't feed the shrimp this contaminated radioactive material. This is something that came after they were already, you know, prepared. With so little information to go on, we can't say for sure that unclean shipping containers contaminated the shrimp. Indeed, we don't even know what would have been inside those containers before the crustaceans. We've reached out to the FDA to ask if it can provide any more information about this radioactive contamination. But thanks to these helpful Blue Sky scientists, we'll be laying off the bagged shrimp entirely in the meantime. That's... okay, cool. But, like, why Blue Sky, though? I'm sorry, but, like, look, I get it. Radioactive shrimp bad. But Blue Sky is the worst fucking social media I've ever used. It's got to be the saddest one. I don't know how to explain it. It's like the... it's like the LinkedIn of social media. It's like if Twitter tried to be LinkedIn and it just doesn't work. I just wanted to shoot astray at Blue Sky because I try to use it, and my God, I cannot get over the people that are on there. They're too much. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, there's no fun there. There's definitely no fun there at all. I'll stick to Instagram despite the unusual happenings on there. Speaking of unusual happenings, we got to talk about the Roblox situation. Their CEO is being sued left, right, and center for all the horrifying stuff he said, right? Look, there's a thing about being a CEO where you got to make your shareholders a lot of money, but it comes at a price, right? You have to have some sort, any sorts of conscience, you know? Essentially, if you don't know what's going on with Roblox and exactly what's going on there is there's a lot of children on the game, like a lot of them. Unfortunately, there are also a lot of, you know, pedophiles on the game, and they happen to make games that are very risque or unusual, and they make their way into these small social circles with children, and unfortunately, they can get access to kids. Disturbing, I know. The problem is, Roblox really doesn't take care of that. It doesn't care if somebody's like, oh yeah, this grown 40-year-old man is trying to talk to children and get pictures of them. We're not going to stop him. Like, that's what's going on, basically. And the CEO couldn't have said a worse statement. Here, let me pull it up. A little bit more context as well. There's this YouTuber named Schlepp, who is actually a victim of grooming on Roblox when he was a kid. Therefore, he's taken it upon himself to go after other predators online, and he actually ended up getting people arrested. However, people are cheering for him, right? Except Roblox, except their CEO, who ultimately banned his account and sent him a cease and desist letter. We have other stuff here. Let's see here. In the days since, numerous charge... blah, blah, blah. Okay. What the hell's going on? Okay, the law firm says Schlepp's actions led to the arrest of 6 individuals who had allegedly groomed young users on the platform, but Roblox has now banned him from the platform, serving him with a cease and desist letter, according to the firm. In the days since, numerous Change.org petitions have been started seeking Schlepp's reinstatement on the platform, while also calling for the resignation of Roblox CEO. When my client attempted suicide, this is a heavy quote, this is a quote by the way, when my client attempted suicide and was hospitalized, his mother contacted Roblox seeking help, attorney Martin Gold said in a statement. Roblox was unresponsive until she threatened legal action. Only then did they engage, and only to claim the abuse happened on another platform, despite the predator being a contracted Roblox developer who the company promoted at events. So already there, you've got, you know, discrepancies, right? Roblox defended their decision to ban Schlepp from the platform. Another quote, taking the law into your hands isn't safe in the real world and is not safe online, the statement said. That's another quote. That's why we work with law enforcement to hold bad actors accountable. Except you don't. You do not. There have been numerous people saying, hey, we know this guy is a groomer. We have proof. Here's information. And instead of that guy getting banned, it'll be banned maybe in 3 or 4 years. In fact, there was somebody who developed a game that was very suspicious, right? And in fact, there's a number of them. There's a huge number of them. And these accounts have been up for thousands of days. I'm serious. Like, come on, dude. What the fuck? It's so obvious what he's doing, right? Is anyone else not surprised? It's been a huge thing lately where it's like, oh yeah, these kids have nowhere safe to be online. How about we make this gigantic platform that's free and you could do microtransactions, you could do all these things, right? Someone's going to take advantage. somebody is always going to take advantage. And unfortunately, I guess the Roblox CEO, how do I put this? It's not that he's allowing it, or it's not that he's promoting it, right? It's not that he's letting people get away with it. It's just that this platform, admittedly, Roblox is fucking massive, right? I'm not defending the guy, okay? This is fucking bullshit what he's doing. But the guy is, he has this huge platform where there's a bunch of pedophiles, and he's not doing anything about it. But what people don't understand is there's so many, and they have to do all this whole legal process in order to go through with arresting these people. Schlepp himself got 6 people arrested. We already discussed that. And then he got banned for it. That's the main reason people are upset. It's not the fact that he got people arrested. Who the hell would defend that? No, it's the fact that he was banned afterwards. Because essentially Roblox said, this guy's a vigilante. This has happened before. The only problem is some of the statements that Roblox has said afterwards is pretty bad. It's essentially like, it's basically like they're saying, we know this is a thing, but the money's too good. Which, again, ethics. Where are the ethics? Where are the morals? Like, dude, come the fuck on. Of all things, you know what? I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to get fucking upset. You know what? I'll say one more thing before I cut it off. We stand with Schlepp, okay? Because, yeah, he was a vigilante, but you know what? He got shit done, okay? This man had been through stuff. This man had been, you know, a victim. And he decided, instead of, you know, carrying that torch and instead of, you know, hurting others, he decided, you know what? I'm not going to let this shit happen. I'm not going to let this shit stand. So he took the law into his own hands. However, he did not take the law into his own hands. He simply used what he could, right? He got people arrested. He wasn't out there grabbing them himself, you know? Because I think of people that go out there and they do these things where they're like hunting pedophiles and like they'll like beat them on camera. That is vigilante, okay? That's something you shouldn't do. That's taking the law into your own hands. What Schlepp did is contacted authorities and got it done the proper way. That's how it should be done. So why the hell is he banned, you know? Of all things. We side with him. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, we talked about Roblox, right? But why don't we talk about every company in general? There seems to be a new marketing campaign everywhere. It's just relate to the younger generation. You know, how do you do, fellow kids? Wow, I'm old. That's an old meme. But it's funny to me how true that is, right? Just based on the fact that Arizona recently posted a meme on TikTok saying, chat, am I cooked? And everyone said, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. These like new marketing campaigns do seem to be working, unfortunately. I actually follow an account that I don't use the product. I don't intend to ever buy anything from Nutter Butter. But it's the fact that their marketing campaign is just going off in the most unusual, bizarre way, right? Basically, what's going on is they're posting terrifying stuff, to say the least. Avant-Garde doesn't begin to cover it. I would say it's like a fever dream. It's like Adult Swim late night episodes of Xavier Renegade Angel when he's like, I don't know, beating, I have no idea, when he's driving into people backwards and they're just like coming to life instead of dying. Look, it's weird, right? They're posting the weirdest thing that they could possibly do. And unfortunately, it did gain clicks. It got likes, it got people watching it, and it got other people making fun of it. But guess what? No publicity is bad publicity. That's the problem, right? They're smart, you know? Do you think these people don't do fucking millions of dollars in research just to see what people will click on? They absolutely do, right? And it's hard not to, just based on the fact that it's such a spectacle. But the only way you can really avoid it is just to swipe away. If you see any company commenting on anything, block the fucking account. That's all you can do. And for some reason, and this is the most annoying one for me, some reason people don't realize that the block button is right there. Just block the damn account. You know, you don't want to see it. You don't want to comment something funny. Guess what? You still gave them exposure. Dumbass, that's how it works. That's how, they know this too, by the way. They know this. I see a lot of random videos where somebody mentions a company and the company will respond. And guess what? It'll be some weird meme response, but guess what? People saw that. And if people respond in a negative way to the comment, they're still responding to the comment, therefore driving it further into the algorithm. So guess what? They win either way. The house always wins. The house always wins. That's basically what I'm saying here. The only way to win is to not play. And it's so funny thinking about it, because I don't know if people are just fucking stupid or they really, really can't help but not block people. The worst thing I've heard is when someone blocks someone else, or they don't, they say something like, oh, this is annoying. Someone responds, oh, just block them. And then they go, yeah, but I don't want to be mean. Congratulations. What? I don't know. I didn't respond to that. But it's stupid, right? It's like, yeah, there's the block button. Hit it, you know? And yet, I don't know. It's just annoying seeing it. But at the same time, it's the way the world works. The way marketing works nowadays is basically just comment everywhere and hopefully somebody sees you. I recently got fucking blocked on Twitter. Not blocked. I got flagged on Twitter just because I was commenting on other people's things. Not mean stuff, right? Just random stuff. And I guess Twitter knows about this method because they then said, okay, we're going to flag you and you're going to be like very low in the search algorithm. You're not going to show up when people look you up. So what's the point, right? Well, basically the reason they're doing that is so that I could buy Twitter Blue, which is like $9 a month. And then it'll verify, oh, I'm a real person, but also I'm paying Elon Musk money. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. I've done it before. It's actually kind of cool. But then again, I mean, Elon has enough money. Fuck that guy. It's the fact that you have to pay to be seen at all. And of course, people with malicious intent know this as well. So you got a bunch of tech CEOs, a bunch of tech bros, crypto scams, all that shit, right? Just everywhere. It's annoying. And whatever you do, don't mention anything crypto because they'll be all over you. It's so sad, right? Cryptocurrency started as this actual, like, genuinely good investment, and now it's just garbage. Do you guys remember NFTs? I hope you don't. I don't know, man. It's, dude, like, I'm only saying this because I have an NFT. Not that I purchased one, but that I am in one. One of my first first big podcast episodes that actually popped off pretty big is an NFT now. And unfortunately, it has been an NFT now. What am I saying? It has been an NFT for years, but obviously no one bought it because NFTs are stupid. I just let whoever wanted to do it, you know, do it. Basically, they contacted me. They said, hey, we want to make this episode an NFT. You cool with that? We'll give you some of the money. I was like, yeah, okay. That's it. I didn't sign any contract or anything, but they did it. You know, I'm thankful for that. But at the same time, why? You know, I don't get what that accomplished. Didn't do anything. There's now just a page that says NFT this, and it's a picture of me with a face in the cake, in my birthday cake. And I think I was like 25 or something, turning 25. I don't remember. But it's an old episode. It's funny thinking about it, just how fast time is flying by. You know what I mean? It flies. Let's move on. Yo, I just found out there's a fucking cult in Roblox. Burn it all to the ground. Oh my god, dude. What? The things you learn, right? I went down a rabbit hole right now. What the hell's spawnism? Please stop. Like, I... Help. This is too much, dude. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. This ain't even the only cult I've seen, right? Spawnism's one of them. There's another one. I forget whatever it's called on TikTok, but they stopped doing it, thankfully. And the funny part is they said the same fucking thing every cult member does. They said the same thing. They said, oh, it's starting as a joke. Oh, it's funny. It's fun. It's just a joyous thing. They all start that way. Every single one of them. It's a joke until it ain't. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a stupid response. The older I get, the more I learn about, like, history, right? Not just, you know, American history, every other country's history. I learn history in general because I realize that so many things back then echo what's modern, you know? Like, there's a phrase, there's a term I heard, history doesn't rhyme, or history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. Yeah, it does, quite often, in fact. There's quite a few stuff going on that's already happened in some way, shape, or form. And guess what? Before that, it happened again, it happened again, it happened again. It's always gonna happen, right? Shit's gonna happen, you're either gonna survive it or not. There seems to be a cycle of stuff like that, you know? But it's weird seeing the cult phenomena from the 90s coming back. If you guys don't know what's going on, it's like they're starting up on their own. Like, people can't help but want to start cults, and then people get hurt. But the... Wow, my stomach. The beautiful part is, those who learn from history are telling people now, you know, they're chewing them out. They're pointing it out. Like, hey, cut that shit out now. You know, like, stop that before it grows. Pull that weed before it becomes a whole field. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that that's happening. The only problem is, because of the rise of social media, it seems to spread pretty damn quickly. But you know what else spreads quickly? Information. So, learn how cults work, basically. There's so many. What the fuck? That's weird. I heard about it and I thought, oh my god, that's so bizarre seeing it, right? But yeah, don't fall for these internet religions. They're not religions, you know? It's such a taboo topic to talk about religion, so I'm gonna skip that part here in the podcast. But there's a difference between a religion and a cult, right? A religion's already established. They have, you know, a set doctrine, and they don't hurt people, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but cults tend to have a much looser grasp on reality. And they're always the whole thing where it's like, oh, there's some end product. There's some end-all, be-all thing. We know the truth. They don't. They don't believe the truth. They'll start separating you from people that think rationally. That's probably the number one thing. Look, growing up, I saw no cults, right? Growing up, I never saw them. I heard about them. I heard about the Jonestown, everything. But I didn't ever witness them firsthand, you know, them spawning. And now that I'm older, they seem to be en masse everywhere. It's interesting, but also a little scary, because you often think about those who are less fortunate that want something to believe in. And unfortunately, when you have someone like that, that's the perfect person to be in a cult. So, you know, watch what your kids are doing online. If you're a kid yourself, watch yourself, okay? Like, I'm saying this right now because I know there's always going to be some kid that's going to be like, oh, I know better. You don't, okay? Because I'm telling you right now, as an adult, I don't know either. The internet is a fucking ocean, and anything can come out of the depths. And then there's the deep web, and that's even deeper, but let's not go there. It used to be a scarier place, and what's funny about it is that people have lost the taboo where the dark web used to be this huge bad thing where it's like, ooh, you can get drugs and kill people online. And now it's like, well, it's just not Google. It's basically just not what's on Google. That's it. That's the dark web. Congratulations, you found it. Clap, clap, clap. Most, if not all, websites have been pretty much taken down, all the bad ones. It started that way, but I guess like since the 90s, they kind of figured it out. They're like, yeah, we got millions of dollars of research going into this, so congratulations, we caught every single website. We left some up as honeypots, so people who want to do illegal stuff online will be caught. It's just not that way anymore, you know? It's funny. It's just wild seeing that. I'm floored right now by this cult thing. I don't like it. I really don't. But at the same time, I'm powerless. I am one man who could do nothing about it, except tell you, maybe research how cults start and how they manipulate people into thinking certain ways, right? I think the number one easiest way that people have been manipulated in a cult is basically if they have nowhere else to turn. There seems to be a loneliness epidemic, so that has in turn spawned people that just want to group up. And one person who is charismatic and can, you know, can essentially round up people and tell them to believe things. But it never starts that way, you know? It's always a small thing. And, like, once you're more indoctrinated, then they start telling you crazier shit. And then it's been a thing, okay? It's been a thing. Just look at fucking... What was that one cult from Japan? Om Shinrikyo, okay? It was Om Shinrikyo. They started as a meditative thing. This was... Originally, they were founded by Shoko Asahara and known as Om Shinrikyo, right? The thing is, they started this way as a cult. Apparently, they've actually formed into a full religion now, which, congratulations. They have since denounced everything that happened when they started. They're like, yeah, the world's not ending. We're just getting together and meditating now. They're now known as Aleph. But Om Shinrikyo started with some blood on the sand, man. I mean, it's disturbing, right? And yet, they just tend to happen, you know? It's weird. It's a weird phenomenon where a number of people will be lonely, so one guy gets together and it's like, we know the truth. It's like, what truth, man? People are lonely, so they want to make up random shit, so they're surrounded by people. That sense of community is something that you can't get anywhere else, so guess what? They ended up getting more indoctrinated. I could do an entire fucking podcast episode on Om Shinrikyo, but I'd rather not, just based on the fact that they still exist. In a way, at least. I don't want to risk it, though, right? I mean, Om Shinrikyo was fucking crazy. I think, if I remember correctly, they started the sarin gas attacks in, like, Japanese subways, which killed a lot of people, by the way. It's fucking terrifying. It's a gas attack in a subway. It's an act of terrorism, right? That's disturbing. You want that here in the U.S.? That's hell no. Fuck that shit. Also, I learned recently there's actually a part in the U.S., like northern United States, northern West Coast, where there's just a lot of cults running around freely. I need to look into that phenomena, because there is a spot that I remember hearing about where it's like a state where like there'll be a lot of micro cults where it's like 4 or 5 people in a cult. So, you know, it still counts as a cult, but just there's not a lot of people in them, you know? But they're still there and they're active and they're doing all kinds of crazy shit in the woods. I want to look into that more later. For now, I'm trying to gather as much evidence from the weeks that have passed, because there has been a lot of shit happening lately. The Roblox CEO, the radioactive shrimp, the new Fallout series, that was awesome. The pickpocketing. I don't know. The news is really popping these 2 weeks. You know, it's funny. This week, I've actually been obsessed with 2 things. Well, kind of. 1 thing, mostly. There's this YouTuber called Saga the Youngin, who's just recounting his life story online, right? And what I like about it isn't just that he does that. He talks about his life, you know, his high school experience, life after working fast food, all that stuff, right? Weird things that he's dealt with, you know, moving in with his friends in a rented house. The weirdness of it all, right? What I like about it isn't just that he talked about it. It's the fact that he animated it, right? So he takes a long time in his videos and he animates the crap out of them. He does a really good job. And I honestly fuck with his vibe. I like it, you know? But I love this running gag he has where he can't say what job he has, right? He can't mention the name of a specific establishment, and yet he describes perfectly a Raising Cane's, like down to the fact that it's got this famous sauce, these chicken fingers, these fries, and a piece of toast. What's funny about it too is he barely masks it. In fact, the name of the establishment, He draws the building, like, and like all the comments are like, dog, we know it's a Raising Cane's. Like, you're not fooling anybody. And yet, he refuses to drop it. Like, he refuses to say, nah, this ain't Raising Cane's. This is something else, I swear. It's just, I fucking love that show. I've been watching it a lot, right? But he does take forever to upload. When I say forever, I mean, like, his next video might be out in, like, 3 months. And that's after you waited 5 months for another one. And obviously what he does take a long time in isn't just talking about it, it's the fact that he's animating it to the sound of his voice. So it's kind of cool, right? His older animations seem a bit you know what, they've all been pretty damn good. Like, I can't even say that he's gotten better over time. He's just always been pretty good. His animations, whenever he does draw a room or something, he has so much fucking detail in the room. It's crazy. That's what I like about it, right? Not even just the fact that he's voicing it over, but he doesn't do that bullshit YouTuber animator stuff where he has like a blank room with nothing in it. Nah, there'll be like a piece of paper, a paper cup knocked over, a little bit of drink on the ground. The tile on the ground will have shine on it. Like, this dude really fucking goes out and he draws very well everything that it's in the room, you know? Like, down to the creases in the sheets in the bed. Down to like a lot of stuff, right? Little ants on the ground maybe walking around. It's just really well done. And this is even the stuff that like, he would draw the stuff that he even like would have trouble describing. Like, he said, well, it's this barely does it justice, but there was rice everywhere, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, individual grains of rice all over the room, piles of trash, you know, he would draw it all. Sounds kind of sad when I say it that way. Look, it's better if you go and watch his videos to get a better idea of it. But I fuck with his channel. It's Saga the Youngin. Go watch his videos. He's got years of content, honestly. So I've just been watching it. I love it, dude. It's so funny thinking about it. Just how randomly YouTube recommended it. And I'm like, I think it was a shot in the dark thing. Because I normally don't watch content like his, right? Whenever it's like a story time. Like, I don't fuck with that kind of stuff. I don't care. If I'm watching a YouTuber and they say, ooh, story time, I keep going. I don't care. I don't know, it's just never been entertaining to me, right? However, Saga's different. This guy really fucking tells a good story, but in a way that's not obnoxious? I don't know how to explain it. I don't know, he seems like a chill dude. Someone that you'd grab a beer with, kind of guy. Don't know if he drinks, but I don't know. Anyway, something else came out this week, and it's so funny, because I've been playing more games, right? Obviously, everyone saw that. Also, recently, I uploaded a video, just as a joke, because people loved Greg when he came out. So I uploaded a video of him spinning for 10 minutes. There's nothing else in the video. It's not edited. It's just 10 minutes of Greg spinning. It's a music in the background. So it's up there now. I don't know why you'd watch it. I just decided to upload it just because. You know, fuck it. Why not? See what happens. And I don't know. I feel like that's the attitude I've been having with my YouTube videos recently. Just upload what you want, see what happens. And the subscribers have been coming, so fuck it, you know? I mean, something's working. Also, my live streams have been getting more viewers. The Long Dark community's definitely loving it, so I am gonna upload more videos about the Long Dark. There's one that I'm still working on, right? This cougar beat my ass last time I was playing a game, and I got it on film, thank God. I got it on live. I died hard, very hard. But the good thing is, I've since learned a lot of things about him. The problem is, the second time I was trying to build up inventory, a rifle and everything, right, to try to get at him again, I was unfortunate, and I couldn't get him. I lost the fight, and it was embarrassing to me. Because the cougar not only whooped my ass the first time, the second time, I didn't even get to him. I fell asleep in a truck, and I froze to death. So it was embarrassing to me. Thankfully, I died off camera, so it's going to be a third attempt to go fight the cougar. Thankfully, I found that you can just kill him with a pistol, but it's a lot more shots that you need. So I have like 60 bullets in the game right now. If you guys have no context what I'm talking about, the Long Dark live streams, I do them all the time. I don't comment on anything while doing them. I just play the game, right? I don't say anything. I just leave it playing. And I don't know. Some people have told me it's relaxing. And there's another game that I played that was way more exciting, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. That one got a lot more views, a lot more people interested. I might do more live streams of that one just based on the fact that it's very more fast-paced, you know? It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up. And I like those just because they're retro, you know? Kind of the style of games that I played growing up, where it's all pixelated, but it's well-made. That's the best part about it. Speaking of video games, the new Call of Duty's coming out, and not a single person gives a shit. Not a single person. It's the funniest thing ever, because all the comments saying, yeah, the new Battlefield's coming out, I'll just get that. The reason being is because, again, Call of Duty can't help but have this fucking battle pass that costs hundreds of dollars, right? They had to include it in the trailer. That's the embarrassing part about it for me. It's just the fact that you're so money hungry, knowing that your franchise is slowly dying, and the story no longer makes sense, that you have to milk it in any way you can. The funny part is, I remember loving the game just because the story was really good, and it just started going everywhere. It made no sense. In fact, it's crazy saying this because, you know, people are going to get mad when I say this, but Call of Duty Black Ops is now set in the past. Originally, it was, oh, it's Nuketown 2025. Remember that? Everyone was so excited about it. There was robots everywhere. Weirdly enough, they weren't too far off with, like, all the problems in the Middle East. I won't get into that, but this is the fact that they were eerily accurate. I wonder what the internet's going to say about that. I'm not even going to look it up, because I know if I go on TikTok, there's going to be someone who never goes outside and showers starting six random conspiracy theories, right? I don't want to hear that shit. I do not want to hear that. Having said that, the new game looks boring anyway, right? It makes no sense. At some point, I was watching the trailer, and at some point I just said out loud, what the fuck is this? It looks like trash. It looks like garbage. There's a random spot where you fight a giant. What the hell is that? You know, I guess it's supposed to be a weird dream sequence. I guess you're knocked out, but somehow you still have a gun. Like, they're not trying no more, okay? And I'm saying this politely. Let Call of Duty die. I'm sorry, but the game has lived way past its prime. At this point, it's kind of like The Simpsons, where it's just release a new one every year. Like, no. A good franchise can rest. You know, a good franchise could stop and go, all right, we heard you guys. That's enough. You know? Activision, fucking get on that. It's annoying. But they're not going to do that because it's their cash cow, right? And somewhere, someone's not getting the memo. They're going to be like, guys, have you played this game? I bought every paddle pass. I bought every skin. Like, where there's money to be had, there's bullshit to, I don't know. There's no art anymore when it comes to video games. There used to be an art to it, but it's all gone now, you know? That's why I haven't even bought any modern games anymore. There's just no point. It's all a cash cow, right? It's all money grabbing. And back then, I don't know, it used to be you bought a game and it was just done. There was no updates. There was no add-ons. There was no skins. I sound fucking old saying this, but you know what? Fuck it. At least back then, I didn't have to buy a skin for it, you know? Although it is kind of funny. They got the Hank Hill skin on the battle pass in Fortnite. That's not as funny as I thought it was. My stomach hurts. I need food. Just so I have a more well-rounded view on everything, you know, regarding Call of Duty versus Battlefield, I watched the Battlefield trailer. Fuck. Yeah, Call of Duty didn't stand a chance. Listen, Battlefield's new trailer is absolutely hype. On top of that, all the comments are saying the exact same thing. No skins, no clowns, no bullshit. That's how people want it, you know? Keep that in Fortnite. And I can't help but agree. I feel like in Fortnite, it's a lot more fun, you know? It's a lot more, like, silly and everything. And that's kind of the point, right? It's more of a child's game. And Call of Duty is supposed to be for adults, basically. Like, a more mature crowd. And yet there they are selling the skins of... I don't know. People really don't want to be in there. They just want a quick cash grab. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. Fuck it. We all got to make money. And some companies got to make a lot more money, I guess. Fuck it. It's just funny to me how I haven't seen Battlefield in a while. Last time they did come out, I do remember the same amount, right? They're good at making the trailer, but can it live up to the hype? The hard part is, lately, it's been a no every time, you know? Like, not even just Battlefield. I'm talking every game in general. There's an art to making a good trailer. And unfortunately, I think people have mastered it while forgetting how to make a good game. You know, like, you don't trade one for the other. You could try to do both. Don't rush a game before it's done. That's kind of what happened with Cyberpunk back in the day, where people wanted it, and even the developers say it'll be out when it's ready. They didn't give a date because they didn't want to. They didn't want to be rushed. And then they were rushed, and then guess what happened? It fucked up the whole game, where later they had to fix things, and eventually they did fix it. Good for them. But the problem was, you know, first impressions matter. You know, day one releases matter. And we're going to see what happens when it does come out. I've been jaded for a while now. It's kind of sad, where it's just like, yeah, I could tell you not to buy a game, but it's actually because I myself have been a victim of it, you know? Thankfully, I learned because of one specific thing, right? I told you before, they mastered the art of making a good trailer. I even got hyped for Fallout 76 before it came out. I did not buy it. Fallout 76 is the one Fallout game I have not played. I probably will never play it. It's because it's all the same bullshit where it's like, oh, it's so much cheaper now. Why don't you play it? It's like, because it's got to be online. It's like, oh, yeah, but these skins are so cheap. Why don't you buy it? I don't want the skins. I don't want to give them money for something that should be free. What's the fucking point of spending $5 to make your character blue? The fuck? That's so stupid. And yet, I seem to be in the minority when it comes to talking about that. Way too many people will say one thing and do another, right? I've heard so many people talking bad about the microtransactions, and yet they participate. It's the same thing every time. It's like, yeah, that's bad. Don't do it. Ooh, Hank Hill. Like, what's the point, man? You know what? Buy the skins if you want. I don't care. I personally just don't really care too much for the fact that... I'm still talking about Fallout 76 here. I still don't care too much about the fact that there's no NPCs, there's no story. Like, there kind of is with, like, some stuff in the background, but what's the point, you know? Also, the first impression, because of how bad it was, because it wasn't their A-team, because of how everything just kind of fucking fell apart, I'm no longer excited for any Fallout game. Although, funny enough, the Fallout show is significantly better. That I was hyped for as well. I was, you know, still nervous, but at the same time, when it finally did come out, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's a pretty damn good show, I'm not gonna lie. If you haven't seen the new Fallout show, go watch it. It's not even new anymore, it's been out for a while. But the new series, or the new season, comes out in December, so, you know, catch up while you can. You got a few months, but, you know, don't lag it. Don't lag it. Shit, really don't lag it. Everyone's freaking out because of the Deathclaw. They made him really good looking. And I love that about it, you know? That new Fallout series is pretty good. I like it. I love it, actually, because of how much they got right. The costumes, the backgrounds, the sets, the effects of the weapons, the fact that she used a gun that was essentially useless when you're starting the game. And it really doesn't, like, kill anyone, right? You shoot them with an injectable thing, and whatever's in the needle is going to affect them in different ways. And at some point, she did shoot someone, and it was like a tranquilizer, and it knocked them out, and they fell over. But at some point, she shot someone who was already, like, fucked up on a bunch of drugs. I'm trying not to ruin the show, but she shot someone who was already fucked up on a bunch of drugs. It didn't do anything to him. He just, like, that's a little drop in a whole bucket of drugs. It's funny. I like that scene. Very good scene. Go watch it. You know, I'm talking more about video games today just based on the fact that every year there's some new ones that come out, mostly before the holidays. Keep that in mind. It's always like, oh, it'll be available for Christmas. You know, just to get the holiday rush out. What's funny to me is I often think about other stuff that have to do with it. One of the channels that I've looked up to for years, from years ago at this point, Raccoon Eggs. If you guys don't remember him, absolutely amazing guy playing CSGO, and I loved his commentary videos. They were all so damn funny, dude. I saw the other day recommended how to survive a raccoon attack, and I thought, that's not an informative video, it's a funny one. I saw who made it, and I remembered 8 years ago, the laughs, you know, how good it was. I don't know, man. It's funny seeing him. It was like seeing an old friend recommended. I love this channel, you know. He hasn't uploaded in a while, and the top comment on the last video is basically what's going on and why he's not coming back, or why he's not coming back, but what's going on entirely, right? Yeah, let me read it. This is a long video. Hang on. Sorry about the long-winded argument. Okay, I'm just going to read it. The reason this is such old footage is because a family member of mine passed away in an accident, so I haven't really had the time to record or edit anything because my family and I have been dealing with the fallout. So that's why this is all CSGO and not CS2. I did try to work on this for a while after it happened, but it felt wrong. Only very recently did I get the motivation to edit this stuff, and so this is the result. I know this video isn't great, but it's all I managed to get before I had to move on, and I figured it's been sitting around long enough. Future videos are pretty unlikely since it kind of killed my desire to play video games. But it's possible that that could change, who knows. I might try to stream again sometime, but I can't really promise anything. I guess follow my Twitch just in case. Sorry this whole paragraph is a bummer. I figure get the bad news over with instead of leaving people to guess. Hope you can get some enjoyment out of the video, at least even if I'm not too happy with it. Then again, when am I ever? As if you wanted some more content like as also if you want more content like this, check out my friend Oddzy and Chris in the description. They also help a lot with reviewing this vid before releasing, so shout out to them. That's all for now. Thank you for reading and take care. So yeah. Guys going through a lot in the background. It has been a year, but at the same time, I feel like at some point you just stop, you know? Something killed his motivation, and I feel bad, but at the same time, I get it, you know? Life comes at you hard. I feel bad for him, but if you guys never knew what happened to Raccoon Eggs on YouTube, that's what it was. That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. I know it was a hodgepodge of all kinds of stuff, but admittedly, the news was on fire these last 2 weeks, and it's still going, actually. I did kind of wait last minute to record everything just based on the fact that so much news was coming out that I thought, give it another hour. Let's see what else happens. But no, it's just been pretty normal at this point. It's finally kind of subsided, so now it's time for us to, you know, to upload. Also, a new YouTube video is coming up soon. I'm not going to say when, but at the same time, I think I need to start working on this passion project, because if I don't, when am I ever going to do it, right? I have a video planned that's going to take a long time to record, a long fucking time, probably going to be like 30 minutes long. But I don't know the first thing about writing a script, basically. It's going to be pretty big. I don't want to announce it without actually doing anything, so maybe I should start working on that now. Feel bad saying that, actually. A lot of stuff has been happening in the background. Nothing too crazy. I've just been kind of busy with life, you know. As an adult with responsibilities, you kind of have to do that, right? I mean, recording this podcast is fun, I will admit, and giving the two-week period, it does help a lot for me to actually pick up a lot of research stuff and, like, not rush it, you know? That's what I like doing. I don't like rushing the podcast. I like when I can finally get some stuff out and it's not, well-researched, basically. Hell, even the last episode before this one. Also, in case you guys haven't noticed, I've been getting ads now. Sweet, right? That's fucking awesome. So keep listening to the podcast. You will hear some ads, and every time you hear an ad, just remember, you're supporting the podcast is doing that. You don't even have to pay anymore. By the way, it finally happened. The Patreon is closed. You cannot give more money to the Patreon. It's too late. There's nothing free on the Patreon anymore. There is no Patreon, period. So if you didn't support me, it's too late. I'm not saying to feel bad. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I get it. I'm not a big creator, you know? I'm not the biggest, but it's closed now. There is another website, I think, called Buy Me a Coffee. It's on my Instagram. If you want to, it's right there. So it's not like a monthly thing, because I get it. Why support someone monthly if everything's free anyway? Plus, I kind of want you to have that attitude, right? It's free, right? if this shit was worth money, then yeah, I'd be making money. But like, it's not, you know, it's just something I do for fun. So I'll see you guys next, in the next 2 weeks. Should be September by then. I wonder what else I should record, you know? Like, I've been doing a whole bunch of stuff in the background. All right, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. I don't know what I'm going to talk about next. See you guys.